We're going to begin with a clip, so you need to focus on the screen for a few minutes. Need some volume. It's
is ironically in the people who we thought were our enemies, scientists, who we thought were so rational. At any rate, one of these scientists that I was listening to several years ago also happened to be a Jewish rabbi. And in his talk, he said, you know, you Christians never really understood the meaning of the third commandment, to not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. He said, for some reason, you thought that that meant you were not supposed to say, God damn you. Well, it isn't very nice to say, God damn you. But do you know that's not even close to the meaning of the commandment? Vanus is emptiness. To speak something in vain is to speak it with emptiness, with futility. It's a waste of time. He said the meaning of the commandment, as it was understood for centuries in Judaism, was don't even speak the name. Don't ever in your lifetime pronounce the sacred name Yahweh. Never. And he said this gave us, at the very beginnings of the Judeo-Christian tradition, a cosmic humility about God. That once you think you've got God in your pocket, that you understand the great mystery, religion always becomes, he said, arrogant and idolatrous, where we love our explanations of God more than actually falling in love with God, where God refuses to ever be an object of the intellect, but is only known by those who enter into love and surrender. Secondly, he said, and probably a lot of you know this, that when you write Hebrew, you actually just write the consonants. And what it means to be an educated Jew is to have memorized the appropriate vowels and to know how to fill in the appropriate vowels in the appropriate places. I knew that from my short Hebrew class. But the third part is what I most want to leave with you tonight. He said, did you know that the consonants used in the spelling of the sacred name, Yahweh, are in fact the only consonants that, if correctly pronounced, do not allow you to use your tongue or close your lips. In fact, we know that the pronouncing of the sacred name was an attempt to imitate and replicate breath. That it was inhalation and exhalation. And then he began to do it into the microphone. And in a few minutes, tears started being audible in the room. In a room of PhDs. I now give this to every crowd I can because it can change your life. It can change your life. If I would come back here a year from tonight, and if some of you hold on to this and begin to live it and to experience it and to practice it, your prayer life will dramatically change. But notice, it has nothing to do with thinking. In fact, it moves the entire experience to the cellular body, corporeal breath level. And it means, wonder of wonders, that the first word you ever spoke when you came out of your mother's womb was the name of God. And the last word you'll ever speak, you don't have to try to remember, do I want to say a prayer before I die? You're going to anyway. That last breath you take on your deathbed will be the name of God. And it's the one thing you've done constantly. You just did it now. And you did it again. You're breathing. And you know what? There's not a Catholic way of breathing and an Anglican way of breathing. There's not a Protestant way of breathing. There's not an American way of breathing. There's not an English way of breathing. There's not a Buddhist way of breathing. There's not a Hindu way of breathing. There's not a Muslim way of breathing. We're all doing this together. And this wonderful God has made the God self that available, that democratic, that accessible. The gift is given. The only problem is the gift is not being received. We've made religion into a series of moral achievement contests. We've made religion into a bunch of hoops that you got to jump and about a bunch of forms that you've got to bow down before, instead of leading people to know something to be true for themselves. And you can see why Jesus was so happy with his cousin John the Baptist, who was filling in the valleys and bringing the mountaintops down and creating a highway to God. But we've created endless, endless obstacles on this highway of the givenness of God, the availability of God, the humility of God, the compassion of God. But I don't want you to leave here tonight agreeing with me or disagreeing with me, liking me or disliking me. Who cares? It doesn't matter. It really doesn't. I want you to know something for yourself. So, for 10 minutes.
Okay. Now, I don't know if you have ever heard that concept before, but Richard Rohr, he's not my mate because I don't actually know him, but I treat him like he is because he's a Franciscan friar and his insight is revolutionary in my thinking, some of the stuff that he talks about. And that concept of the name of God in our breath, instilled in every one of us, no matter who we are, is a very powerful concept that I just want to talk very, really quickly about this morning in relation to our work. For those of us who are volunteers and staff on this site, we engage with lots and lots of people every day of the week. We are meeting with people from the community. So to step back a little bit in time, if you were to read the text in Genesis, which gives us an account of creation, an account of God and his involvement in the establishment of this world. In Genesis chapter 2, it says this. And I'm just reading three verses, 5, 6, and 7. At that time, bushes had not yet appeared on the earth, plants had not started to grow, and the Lord God had not sent rain. And there was no one to farm the lands, but streams came from the earth and they watered the entire surface of the ground. And this is the bit I want you to listen to. The Lord God formed a man, made him out of dust, and God breathed the breath of life into him, and the man became a living person. Now I just want you to think about that concept this morning, because one of my big challenges that I think we face in this world where we speak English and live in this country of Australia is that we lose so much of the biblical texts and the meaning of it in translation. If you read the Bible, we use this word Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. You've seen that. Those of you who have or read Bibles will have seen that word to denote God, all in capitals. And I did some research into that word, and it actually is a word that is substituted for 13 different names for God. 13 different names for God are represented by that one word, Lord. One of those is Yahweh, which you've just heard about this morning. And each of those names of God has a meaning, a specific part of it that's attached to understanding who God is. And what we lose in that one word is that we lose all of that meaning. We see the word Lord, worship the Lord. The Lord God said this, the Lord does that. And we lose so much by that translation into that one English word, and the word Yahweh is included in that. Yahweh denotes the Most High, the Most Sacred, the Unspeakable name of God. The other part that we lose in this story is the word breathed, or breath of life. When God breathed life into the man, he became a living soul. The meaning of that word is pronounced ruach, and it means like wind or breath, from which you can't see where it comes from. It's a force, it's there, it's around us, we can feel its effect, but we don't know where it comes from. Something of that mystery that Richard Rohr spoke about in that text, something about understanding that God is here, but there's something mysterious about God that we'll never really be able to understand. And the other word that breath of life relates to is pneuma. Now, pneuma, we have a little bit more understanding of. Pneumonia, pneumatic, talks about filling, and it's associated with our breathing in a medical term as well. The same word. But again, it's something more than just breathing. And for those of you who work for us, with us, in all different sorts of areas within the Salvation Army, what I want you to gain from this today is to understand this, because this is what affected me as well. Every time you engage with a person, no matter who they are, in an AOD context, in doorways, just someone who needs to talk, who's trying to deal with their problems, every time any one of us engages with a person in the name of the Salvation Army, we are engaging with a person who by their very breath is speaking the name of God. No matter what their background is, where they've come from, what they're dealing with, how rude or obnoxious they might seem to you as you speak with them, you are engaging with a person who is speaking the name of God by their breath. Now, I want you to go home tonight when you've got a quiet spot, and I want you to try that exercise. Breathing in and out through your mouth slowly. Focus on the sound, and you will hear the name Yahweh. Yahweh, as you breathe in and out. And as you do that, understand that that is the very life that God has placed in all of us. Now, you may never have thought about this. And it doesn't matter whether you believe in God or not, or whether you want to have nothing to do with him. The same for the people who we engage with. It doesn't matter what they believe. It is that God's life has been breathed into them. And what I want to encourage all of us to do today is to see that person, whoever they may be, as someone with the potential to be the very best that they can be, because God has breathed into them that life. Every single person who steps onto this site, every staff member, every volunteer, every participant, every person who rings up and makes an inquiry from us, every person whom we engage with in whatever way, carries within them the breath of life, the name, the sacred name of God. Now, I agree with what Richard said. If we can understand this, it will transform our lives. If we can start to see that every person we meet every day, who in whatever context, whatever ministry or service we are in, if we can begin to believe that every person has within them that sacred name, it will change the way that we see the world. And I think it will help us to strive to be, to bring the very best for them in their lives. So I want you to take that thought with you today. I'm not going to say any more. We're just going to finish by watching a song which talks about that idea, that concept of Yahweh in us, God within us, that his name is our very life. And that name will be the last thing that we speak. And I thought about that concept as well. I thought, do we die when we can't breathe, when we stop breathing? Or is it when we can no longer speak the sacred name of God that we can't live anymore? when we can no longer speak the sacred name of God, we can't live because our breath stops. So you can look at it either way. I think there's something very powerful in that idea as well. I want to pray a little prayer, and then we're going to watch a song to finish up with this morning. Father God, we thank you that we've been reminded today that you are the source of our life, and that you've breathed into us the very life force that you created, and that we carry that within us all the time, whether we are even aware of it or not. I pray you would help us to be focused on that. I thank you for our staff, the ones here represented today and the ones who aren't here today. There's so many people that give of their time, work. They're dedicated, they're committed to what we want to achieve in our community in this place. And I thank you for them, the volunteers as well, who also give so much time and energy. And I thank you for them all. I pray that each of us will become very aware of your presence in us, your power in us, your life in us. And that as we become aware of that, we would live our lives in a way that does justice to that presence in us. May we be examples of you and your life in this world, I pray. Amen. We want to watch a song called Yahweh, just to finish this part of the service today. Thanks.